Johnstown? How was it?
Life in Johnstown was wonderful. They had a wonderful, close-knit Jewish community. Everything centered around the synagogue and the... It seems like the Jewish people in Johnstown were very close. We had affairs, and there was a friendly feeling among all of them. And you just had friends. And it was just great. Just great. We had a wonderful rabbi. We had a wonderful cantor. And life was good in Johnstown.
And you did well.
And I did well. Right. I started to grow, you know, started to make a living, started to save a few bucks and bought a nice home. And felt I was making progress. And then they decided that we could come to Pittsburgh.
How about your children in Johnstown? They went to the public schools.
They went to the public schools. They had a good life there. They enjoyed it very, very much.
They liked it in Johnstown.
They liked it in Johnstown. And my oldest daughter, Marlene, met Robert Lippman in Johnstown, whom she eventually married. And he's a wonderful fellow. I'm going to sidetrack here a moment here.
That's okay.
I've been most fortunate. I have two daughters, and they're wonderful. They are wonderful. And, I wish I'd have known that they were so great. I'd have had 14 of them. But I always say to them that they've done for me what I've never been able to do for myself. They have given me two sons. Because Marlene's husband, Bob, and Ruth's husband, Alan, they're just like sons. And, they're just great. But anyhow, we left Johnstown and we came to Pittsburgh.
How old were the girls when you came?
Well, Ruth was still going to school. She was going to...
It was more in terms of what year was it? Like 1950, you know, what year?
It was about 30 years.
That would be in the 66.
30 years ago, that would be 67, 65.
So, Marlene, the older daughter, was out of school already.
No, she was in high school.
Oh, Marlene was in high school.
She was still in high school, but she met Bob.
Okay, in high school.
Now, when we came to Pittsburgh, the romance continued. Oh, no, wait a minute. Let me back up.
She's not in high school. I can add this one.
No, let me back up. I'm wrong.
It's 57?
I'm not thinking of the date just at this moment. No, Marlene got married in Johnstown.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, Marlene got married. They got married in Johnstown. And they had a place of their own.
So she was out of school.
She was out of school. And, Eddie was born in Johnstown. And Eddie now is 40 years old.
So it was 40 years.
Yeah, it was 40 years. So, and we left there when he was about 3 or 4 years old.
And Marlene.
So that's about 37 years.
And Marlene stayed in Johnstown. Is that correct, or did she come?
No. When we came to Pittsburgh. When we came to Pittsburgh, did she come to Pittsburgh at that time? When we radiated, we didn't know.
That's a long time ago. Let me establish this. This might help me. When were Ruth and Marlene born?
I'm sorry?
When were Ruth and Marlene born? Marlene was born when? What year?
Marlene is 63.
She
Ruth is 7 years younger.
1933.
And Ruth is 7 years younger.
And Ruth was born in 1940. Roughly.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. I can give you
additional. I can't remember if she came in this one.
What did her husband do?
He worked for me for a while. He was having a problem getting a job. And we came to Pittsburgh. And he had started college as an engineer and had quit halfway through. And I went to work. He came to Pittsburgh again. He was plumbing. Yeah, he came to Pittsburgh. I know he came to Pittsburgh. Yeah, and I went. Bob was having a problem getting a job, working, and so forth. And one day I said, he was working for me, and he wasn't going to get anywhere working with me. So I said to him one day, Bob, what would you like to do? He said, Dad, I'd like to go back to college. Mm-hmm. And now we're living in Johnstown. You go back to college. Now you're a married man with a family, and so forth. So the wife and I discussed it. She was insistent that we put him through school at college.
Your wife was?
That's right. So yeah, we lived in Johnstown. We were still in Johnstown. And Bob came to Pittsburgh and went to Pitt. And we put him through school, you know, that we took care of the family. And then he graduated. And we came to Pittsburgh. And we all came to Pittsburgh. Sure. So I called him the place.
What was his major?
Now, when we came to Pittsburgh, I went with there was an outfit at the time called Challenger Products, which was owned by Sam Barnum. And I took that as a temporary. I didn't know what I wanted to do. And Sam and I are cousins. Mm-hmm. We were very close. Mm-hmm. And Sam always said to me, Sam, why don't you come to that? So at that time, I said, okay. Now, Bob had nothing to do, so, and he was his last year of school, and he had a very, very light schedule, and Sam Brown at that time had Maybro. You've heard of Maybro.
Mm.
You remember that?
I do.
But Sam Brown had Maybro.
He was a very successful business.
Mm-hmm. So I asked Sam to give Bob a job, part-time job, so he could go out and do a little bit of work, because he had time his last year at school, and make a few dollars, which he did, and Bob did very, very well. Now Bob graduated, and he didn't want to go for engineering. He didn't want to go for engineering because he only get a job for $500 or $600 a month, and he was doing much better than that with siding, selling siding. But I said, no, you can't do that, Bob. We kept fighting about it. I said, this is only a temporary thing with the siding business. You've got to get yourself established and get yourself into something that's solid and can make a living for your family in the years to come. Well, he didn't want to. Finally, see. So he stayed with the siding for a while, and I used to putz about that. And finally, I discussed it with him, and finally got him to take a job with an engineering company, which he did. And I said, if you have any problems with it, money and home and so forth, I'll help you along. But I want you to get yourself into your field, which he did. And Bob is very good at it, and he did very, very well with it. And he started with a small company, and then he went with a small company to a larger company. They went with U.S. Steel, mm-hmm. as an engineer, and then an outfit out of Reading, Pennsylvania, who had been working with him, was much impressed with him. Mm-hmm. And they wanted him to come with them, which he did. They moved to Reading. And he was there for about 7 or 8 years in Reading. Meantime, I was here in Pittsburgh, and I went back into the home improvement business in Pittsburgh, which I did not like. I liked working in a small town.
You're peppering.
Yeah, I didn't like working in a big town.
Just your background, I guess.
Well, when I was in Altoona, when I was in Johnstown, I would walk down the street, I would meet people, and I had done work for them, and so forth. And, it was closer, it was too cold here for me in Pittsburgh. In the meantime, my wife passed away.
Oh.
Yeah.
Yes. We haven't even talked about her, but we'll get back to your marriage.
Yeah, Tilly passed away. Yeah, maybe that was one of the things I didn't like in Pittsburgh. She passed away while we were here in Pittsburgh.
What year was that?
She died 37 years ago.
died in 1960.
Yeah.
You know, right. It's 1996, isn't it?
1960. And then I left Pittsburgh, so I left Pittsburgh, and I went to Morgantown, West Virginia, and I opened a business there. I was very, very successful in Morgantown.
What kind of business?
Same thing, home improvement.
Did your kids go with you? Did your daughter go with you?
No, my home stayed, was always here in Pittsburgh. I wasn't moving anywhere.
Okay.
My home was in Pittsburgh.
But you commuted to Morgantown.
I commuted. I left on Monday and come back on Friday.
I see. And your daughter, Ruth, is here in Pittsburgh?
My daughter, Ruth. It's here in Pittsburgh. Now, I guess for 20 years before Tilly passed away, my mother-in-law lived with us.
Mm-hmm.
She was a great woman.
Mm-hmm.
No problem with her.
Right.
And so she lived with her, and of course when we came to Pittsburgh, she was here. So Ruth was with her, grandmother. Lived at the Ken Hart at the time. Then I was in Morgantown, and I did very, very well in Morgantown.
You were selling the siding.
Home improvement, yes. Kitchens, and I expanded from siding into kitchens and furnaces and so forth.
Oh,
okay.
You didn't tell us that. Okay.
And I did very, very well in Morgantown.
Sam,
2 years.
Can I interrupt you? How would you do that? How would you, for instance, sell and install a furnace? How did you get into the selling furnaces and doing kitchens? How did you do that? How did you branch out from siding into these other home improvements?
Well, first of all, I was a salesman. I thought I was a pretty good salesman.
I'm sure you must be. I'm sure you are.
So I learned how to sell the product.
Uh-huh.
I know nothing at all about installing a furnace. But you know, it's hard people to do that.
Right.
You know, it's hard people to put up siding.
Sure.
You know, it's hard somebody to put in the kitchen.
Okay.
That's what you do. I mean, I could sell.
Okay.
And then I managed the rest of it. I hired people that had the knowledge of how to do these things.
Right.
And then I learned. I learned how to measure a kitchen. I learned how to measure a furnace.
Did you have an office or a storeroom?
Well, we had a storeroom in Morgantown with a beautiful showroom.
Uh-huh, uh-huh.
And I became part of the community.
Uh-huh.
I loved it, and again, I liked it there because walking up and down the street, everyone knew me. I knew everyone else.
Uh-huh.
And you meet people that you did work for, and I always did good work.
Uh-huh.
That's one thing I always did.
Working for you.
That's the one thing I did.
And you lived how in Morgantown? Do you have an apartment?
I lived in a hotel.
In a hotel.
Yeah. I had a room by the month at the hotel. Hotel Morgan. 2 years after, I guess maybe 3 years after Tilly passed away, I remarried.
Oh,
good. I didn't go out for 1 year. Didn't go out at all for 1 year, and then I shot 3 years as when I started to go out. Then I had a problem. You go out with the women and you went out a couple of times and you get married. That's one thing I wasn't going to do. I wasn't going to do. But then I met Sylvia Baskin. Is that name familiar to you?
No. I know Baskins, you know.
Well, they had the Peerless wallpaper.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
I know. I knew.
Sam Baskin.
Right. There was a woman there that I worked with when I bought stuff.
Her name was, she was Sam's sister.
Yeah, she was very nice.
Oh, yeah.
Oh,
yeah,
I liked her.
She was okay.
I understand she died.
Oh, yeah. No, they've all gone.
Yeah.
They're all gone. I married Sylvia. That was not a good marriage.
Oh.
It lasted for 17 years. It lasted for 17 years because people wondered how I stayed married to her. She was a nice person. She was her own worst enemy. We stayed married for 17 years because I would leave home every Monday, go to Morgantown, come back on Saturday. I mean, on Friday. And Saturday I was busy in town taking care of things. Saturday night we belonged to the Crest Club,
mm-hmm.
and that was a social club. We played cards, and we had the eight. And so that took care of Saturday nights. And Sunday night, the Sundays I had the, I don't know, Sunday we would go. My dad was at the Jewish home, and I would go there every Sunday and spend time with him. And then I just got tired of the traveling. And so I just retired.
Oh, okay.
And I was about 67 at the time. Now I sold my business. I had a salesman working for me in Morgantown, and I sold him the business for $1. And when I came back to Pittsburgh, and I knew I'd made a mistake. The marriage lasted for 17 years because we weren't together. Now I came back into Pittsburgh. It was just too much for me. So in order to get out of the house, I decided I would have to go back to work and do something so that I'd get out of the house. So at the age of 67, I started a new business. I started manufacturing a kitchen cabinet doors.
Just the doors?
Just nothing else but
how
doors.
Did, first of all, how did you know there was a need for doors? How did you know that?
Well, I was the first one in the business.
Yeah, I mean, that's a pretty specialized and unique business.
Well, it was a carryover from Morgantown.
Uh-huh.
I would go into a home in Morgantown. People wanted a new kitchen. And you would work out a new kitchen with always too much money. You couldn't afford it. So you lost that. And I kept thinking, you know, the kitchen cabinet, and most of the kitchens, if you would replace the arrangement would almost be the same.
Sure.
That was most of the kitchens. Now, in other words, if I wouldn't change my kitchen, what else could I do with it? What I have? And that's
right.
True of most kitchens.
That's right.
Think of your own.
They're the natural arrangement.
That's right, and that is it. What people were tired of was the appearance of the kitchen. Not that they really wanted a new kitchen, they were tired of the old look. And I realized that a kitchen cabinet is nothing more than a box with a door on it. That's all it is. If you have you have a good box, it almost seems ridiculous to tear that old kitchen out, to tear out a good box, just so you could put a new kitchen in with a new door and a new look. Why don't we just leave the box there? Let's make a new door. Let's replace the cabinets. Let's give the cabinet the finish. With Formica, the same as the cut of the door. And put a new door on, you have a new kitchen. Well, I had that idea when I was in Morgantown, and I did a little bit of it. And I thought, well, when I came back to Pittsburgh, I thought maybe I could do that here in Pittsburgh. I didn't want to go into the retail business in Pittsburgh, but I didn't like the retail business. So I decided, I thought I would manufacture the doors. And the first doors I made was an abortion. Terrible. I look back at what we were selling. Unbelievable. You know?
Yeah.
But look, it was the first concept, and it was accepted. Nobody ever seen anything like it. And it didn't look bad. You know, it didn't look bad. So I went to people that are in the business, like Nabrode, Commonwealth Heating, and there were many other people that were in the business. And it was another item that they could sell. And my idea was for them to sell the product. And I would manufacture and I would install it.
Oh, you'd also install
it? I would install it. Because it was an art in installing and they couldn't do it and it was a problem. They had to install it and I knew I couldn't get anywhere with them. And I took samples out to only 50 people. And when you take a new product out, you show it. Some like it, some don't like it. Lo and behold, everyone I went to loved this product. He said, boy, give me samples. We'll go out and we'll do
good
a
idea.
Job. Now I got scared. I got scared because I knew most of these people personally. And I just saw an avalanche of business coming in. I don't have the kind of installers to install that many jobs. And I'm going to do nothing else but create enemies because they're going to go out and sell a job. That may be part of a siding job or it may be part of a bathroom that they've sold it and everything else. I can't get the job finished. They can't collect their money until the whole thing is finished. So I'm going to create enemies. So I got scared and I backed away from it. So I went back to all of these people and I said, I told them what my story was, my problem was. And I said, look, I'm going to go into the retail business, which I do not want to do. I'll generate business and And as I generate the business, I'll develop installers. And let me come back at a later date when I feel I have installers who can handle all of the business issues. And they thought that was great, and that was fine. So that's what I did. I went into the retail business and I built up a big business here.
How did you get to people? You know, I want to improve my kitchen. How would you, did
we
you
were
advertise?
We were on TV, we were on newspapers, we had a lot of leads. We generated a lot of leads. That was a new concept, you know, don't buy a new kitchen.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
also, you had a network of people in that, in the home improvement business.
That were willing to sell my doors.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, but I wasn't ready to handle it because
right.
I couldn't install
them. So you wanted to sell them yourself.
Well, so that it gave me an opportunity to build up installers. If I made mistakes, it was my problem. It
right.
wasn't going to hurt them.
Right.
So I went into the retail business, and lo and behold, I developed a big retail business. Many, many sales.
What was the name of your company?
It was Kitchen Saver.
Kitchen Saver. Good name.
And I went back to all of these people, because I want to get out of the retail business. I went back to all these people that I had contacted for, and we all got samples. I had meetings with all of their managers. And now I'm waiting for the business to come when we die. Not a job come in. Nothing. And then we realized that it was the wrong product for these people to sell. Because a siding man is used to going out and selling the siding job for $7,000 or $8,000, $10,000, making $1,000 commission.
Mm-hmm.
Our product sold for $2,000.
Mm-hmm.
It took the same time to drive out to a house. You know, it took the same time to sell it. You know, they go, oh my, that's only $2,000. I'll walk in, the customer says, where do I sign? It doesn't work that way. So they got, after a while, they said the heck with it and dropped it and didn't bother with it anymore. So we realized that wasn't the outlet for our product. Now I had a problem. I had a manufacturing plant that we were producing doors. That was my first experience as a manufacturer. And I realized that you had to attain a certain level in order to make the factory
make your
profitable. Yeah, make it profitable. In other words, I can't make three doors a week and say it's going to be profitable because you've got the men there, you've got some machinery. I knew that I had to have some money. So I felt that I would open some satellite offices with nothing else but cabinetry facing. So the first office I opened was in Youngstown, Ohio. I put an ad in the paper for salesmen and went to Youngstown, interviewed them at the hotel there. And, you know, they thought I was crazy because who's doing kitchen replacing? Everybody has a kitchen, so, you know, what are you going to do? But anyhow, I had a fellow, Ed Waters, he was the first man I ever hired. And he took the job because he could get a draw and he needed money and he didn't have any faith at all in the business. But anyhow, she started, and lo and behold, he started to do business. And it worked out, and that became a very, very good office. So at one time, I had seven different offices. I had Winston-Salem, I was in
North Carolina?
Yeah, there's a story behind every one of them why I opened them. I was in Phoenix, Arizona. Well, it started to work out very, very well for me. Now I was in the big retail business here in Pittsburgh. Now I'm chapping it a bit because now I want to go back. I want to go to the manufacturing, you know, like back to the eggs, you know,
uh-huh.
retail.
Uh-huh.
And then these offices are starting to become a problem, not as far as the sales and everything else, but with the taxes. Every city had its own taxes, and the
right.
bookkeeping could drive you crazy.
Yeah.
So I sold all of the office to the managers, and they became customers, and we still have some of them.
Exactly.
So one of the people that I contacted when I was getting people to handle our product was a fellow by the name of Will Aaron Rich, who had a home improvement concession in Gimbel's. He loved his concept. He loved the product. And it fitted into his picture very, very well. because he sold awnings, which, you know, $1,000. He sold Scuttle Stormen, and he sold smaller items in the city. So this fit into his picture very, very good. And we became friendly, and he knew what my feelings were, and he wanted to buy me out. And I said, "Will, I can't do that. Because as long as you are with Gimbel, you know, you get up in the morning, you don't know what to do. Should I put on a Gimbel's hat or should I put on my kitchen saver hat? You don't know what you're going to do. So your pension is divided." So one January he called me. Said, "Sam, let's have lunch," which we did. And he said, "I'm out of Gimbel's." He was having labor problems and so forth. And he said, "That I can do." He said, "I'd like to buy it." So I sold him the business, the retail business. And then I built the manufacturer. And we developed, then I went out on the road and traveled all over the country. We today have four plants.
Who did you sell to when you went on the road after you sold your retail business to the guy from Denver? Who were your customers? What sort of people did you go to?
You mean for the doors?
Yeah.
Well, there was people that did nothing else but cabinet replacing.
Right.
You know, at one time, like now Sears here, but Sears and Pittsburgh have a big job on cabinet replacing. And we sell Sears here.
In other words, by refacing, you mean they cover the frame?
Yeah, just tore off the old doors, threw them away, recovered the
frame
and then installed new doors.
In new doors.
Yeah, and we have a selection. We must have 40 or 50 designs to those beautiful doors. They are really beautiful.
We do doors and drawers now?
Doors and drawers, right. Yeah.
Do you also supply the formica to cover the frame?
Oh, yeah, we do everything.
You do all that.
We do everything. Yeah. We do everything. And that's a beautiful job.
You're not face savers, you're kitchen
savers. Kitchen savers. And we finally ended up with four plants with millions of dollars of equipment. We have equipment that one piece is $140,000. Many pieces are $80,000 or $90,000. And I recall when I had to buy the first piece of equipment, it was $1,200, and I thought, I don't know what I would spend $1,200. A piece of equipment, but I had to, and I think today we're the largest revenue profit of the door manufacturer. That's a laminated door. There are people who make doors that are wooden doors.
Right, right, I understand.
They're making laminated doors. I mean, I know one thing, we make the best. We make the best. Now, my son-in-law, who was in...
Which one?
The one that was in Reading, Pennsylvania.
Right, that's Bob.
That was Bob, the engineer. Now, it got to the point the business was too much for me, not very much.
You must be, at this point, you must have been about 70 years old.
I was. I started when I was 67.
Well, I figured you must be around 70.
I traveled all over the world. Oh, I just worked like a horse.
I bet you did.
Now, I wanted Bob to come back into Pittsburgh and come into the business. And he hesitated for 1 year after Bob went into the business. Finally, Bob did get into the business. And we were together for 6 years. And we have a very, very close relationship in the family between Ruth and her sister and the two boys and myself are very, very close. One day, it was missing.
There's another page there. Yeah.